Here is your news for this Saturday. Iowa is seeing a staggering number of claims for unemployment benefits as the coronavirus pummels the state and national economy. Officials say that the daily number of unemployment claims being filed is similar to that of what the state would usually see in a busy month. The job losses are piling up as Iowa has taken moves to limit the spread of the virus by ordering the closure of restaurants, bars, and other gathering spots and encouraging people to stay at home. Because of that, Governor Kim Reynolds on Friday signed a state emergency declaration designed to offer an array of relief to Iowa residents. Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate has rescheduled three upcoming special elections to take place this summer as part of efforts to avoid crowds of people gathering and possibly spreading the new coronavirus. Pate says that those elections will now be held on July 7th. Included with that order is the special election for the city council position for residents living at Craig here in Plymouth County. The other special elections are set for Cedar Falls, and the third is for Woodbury County to fill the Board of Supervisors vacancy. Pate says that he consulted with the auditors of all three counties, including Plymouth County Auditor Stacy Feldman, before rescheduling the elections. He says July 7th is the first date available for the elections. For people who had already voted by an absentee ballot, those ballots will be held and counted on July 7th. We continue today with part two of our conversation with Dr. Stephen Meese of Floyd Valley Healthcare regarding the spread of COVID-19 or coronavirus. Dr. Meese has been a physician for 27 years. Many people may recall a few years ago we had the H1N1, or known as the swine flu, that had spread across the world. Meese was asked why we are taking extreme precautions against the COVID-19 when we did not shut down schools, businesses, and offices during the spread of H1N1.
Well, the H1N1 did have lethality. In fact, probably, as far as I can see right now, I'm thinking probably more people probably died of the H1N1 than may die from this. But when you extrapolate the information that we've gotten from China, that we've gotten from Italy, you know, worst case scenario, you could see 500,000 people die of this. Now, that's quite a bit up from, you know, 20 or 30,000 that we lost from H1N1. So H1N1, although it was bad, didn't have the lethality that this supposedly has. We're probably going to find out that this isn't quite as lethal as they thought. But the problem is, it's a new virus. We really don't know what's going on with it. We've seen young people in their 30s die of it. We've seen elderly, mostly elderly people die of it, and people with compromise. And the problem is how easily it's transmitted, even more so than the H1N1.
Meese says a similar situation that health officials dealt with a few years ago was with the SARS virus that also originated from China.
That was a big scare. It never made it out of China, so we never had to deal with SARS. But that was a concern we had at the Board of Health. We're looking at that. There was no immunization. We were just kind of stuck with it. But that didn't pop out of China. This one got out of China, and we can see what it's done in Italy. We can see what it's done in Iran. And those people kind of didn't take it seriously. We're taking it seriously. You can also see in New York City, where everybody walks shoulder to shoulder, that's rising rapidly. Here in Iowa, we're not quite as crowded. I mean, we have spread out spaces. We can go places. You're just not going to run into a million people next door to you. So this is going to run a little less rapidly. But the H1N1, yeah, it had lethality, but it wasn't quite as contagious. We had had flu shots before. We had had flu before, so we had some partial immunity to it, too.
Dr. Meese says that a similar situation with how the world reacted to the spread of a disease may be back during the World War I era with the spread of the Spanish flu.
That would have been the 1918 flu, and some people said that stopped World War I, and that killed 50 to 100 million people at that time worldwide. And that was a bad bug. Young men would wake up, go to work, die that night. It hit them. They hemorrhaged their lungs. It seemed to hit middle, you know, 20 to 50-year-olds a lot. So it killed a lot of people. And back then, they didn't have the respirators. They didn't have any kind of treatment for it. So, I mean, a lot of people died from that. Fortunately, all of a sudden, it just kind of quit when the weather warmed up.
A Floyd Valley physician believes that the COVID-19 coronavirus will disappear, but he says it may be into the summer months before the danger of contamination is significantly reduced. However, he says there are signs that the virus is diminishing in China, where the virus originated.
If you take a look at China, that's where it started. They had 80,000 people get it, and I think they're up to 81,000 now, so it's not too much. So since they hit about 2-3 weeks ago and they had the 80,000, they really haven't grown much. So we're assuming there were a lot of people that had it, that didn't have it, that are now immune to it. That provides a reservoir, so if you don't have immunity, it can spread. Once somebody has it, they create the immunity, they can't spread it anymore. So we'll likely see that, but we might see it a little slower rate. The problem with China is they had 80,000, boom, and it overwhelmed their medical system. I mean, they built a 5,300-bed hospital to try to, take care of it. Well, they just shut that down last week. But I mean, so they built a 5,300-bed hospital in the Huon Valley for 1 month of use, and now they're done with it.
In our Part 3 segment with Dr. Stephen Meese, he'll explain why it may take a while to create a vaccine against COVID-19.